The Providence College Friars.
Will the party ever end tonight in downtown Providence?
The Big East.
23 points.
And the rest of the college hoops world.
You know that. The party will not end.
This is the Providence Crier Podcast with your host, a PC grad standing in at 4 feet tall. He is the Providence Crier himself, Mike Zarek.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Providence Crier Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Zarek, the Providence Crier. Follow me on Twitter. That's at Providence Crier. Read our blog, theprovidencecrier.com. Join with me as always. We have BOC in the house. Follow him on Twitter at BOC all day. Today is Thursday, May 9th. And I know we just came out with an episode yesterday, but we had an opportunity to interview a member of the Friars coaching staff. So we sat down with PC assistant coach Nate Tomlinson. For those who don't know, Nate Tomlinson coached with Kim English at George Mason for the 2 years Kim was there. And then they also were both assistants at the University of Colorado prior to coming to Providence this past season. So really good chat with him. We were able to talk about his background coming to the States to play college hoops at the University of Colorado. We also discuss a few of the current Friar players, as well as what him and the staff had to do once the season ended to address some needs with the roster via the transfer portal. And he gives his impressions of the PC fan base. So a really cool conversation to have with him. And we appreciate Nate taking some time to sit down with us. So here is our interview with Nate Tomlinson. But first, we got a word from our sponsors.
Support for this episode of the Providence Crier Podcast is brought to you by Fox Hill Wealth Management, a fiduciary investment company. Are you struggling to plan for retirement and other life events? Do you need help investing your savings? Well, look no further than Providence College graduate Eric Benz, along with his team of financial advisors and certified financial planners. You can gain peace of mind knowing your finances are in expert hands at Fox Hill Wealth Management. Take control of your financial future today. Visit them at foxhillwealth.com to get started.
All right, we are pleased to be joined by Providence assistant coach Nate Tomlinson. Nate, thanks for joining us today.
No worries, boys. Excited to be here.
Yeah, all right. So let's get right into it. All right, so you've been on the job for a little over a year now. How would you say your first year in Providence went?
It went really, really fast. That's the first thing. Stepping back and taking a look at, you know, kind of everything that we've had to deal with from a lot of good, you know, but also some tough situations. We were disappointed with how the season finished. Obviously, you know, we have high expectations. We know Providence Athletics, especially Providence Basketball, and our fan base have high expectations that, match ours as a staff. And, you know, we didn't quite hit those, which was disappointing. But, you know, building this program, and like I said, taking a step back and looking at everything, you know, we're going to have a first round draft pick this year, which is really, really cool for us. Had some success late in the season, you know, in the Big East tournament, which was great. Really, really happy with what we've done, building our roster for next year and hopefully for years to come. So Providence Basketball is in a great spot. We didn't have the success that we would have liked to this year. For a lot of reasons, but no excuses. Next year we will. The first year was really good.
What in your first year, I'm just curious, what kind of did you notice about the Big East, whether it's the teams, the coaches, the personnel, what kind of caught you by surprise? I know you have, years of experience playing in the Pac-12.
Yeah. first, it just felt like every game was like a heavyweight title match, you know, type of game. You know, from obviously the programs that you play against, the coaches, you know, especially this year, the coaches that have joined the league. And then it just seemed like every game was there's so much weight on every single game. You know, just because of where we were stuck, you know, in that kind of middle group of the league. But it was unbelievable. You know, every game, you know, the fan support, you know, whether it's at home, obviously for us, but on the road, it's just a great league. I think it's the best basketball league in the country. And it's really, really fun to be a part of.
Awesome. So let's kind of pivot to you for a second here. You know, obviously Coach England, Fire fans know his college career and all of that, but you know, you had a pretty good career yourself at Colorado. So I guess kind of if you would kind of expand, you know, playing at Colorado and then your career overseas before getting into coaching.
Well, you're throwing around the term good fairly loosely.
Don't sell yourself short, Coach. I looked it up.
I was on the court. I was there. But no, I actually I came from Australia and did my final 2 years of high school up in the northeast at Lee Academy in Maine, Lee, Maine, which is a tiny little small town, the complete opposite of Sydney, Australia, where I came from.
Was that a culture shock for you going from there to Maine?
It was, but all I did was stay in the dorm and go to the gym and go to my one classroom. So it no, it was, I mean, it was snow from September to June, it felt like. So I'd never seen snow before. So it was a culture shock, but really, really good for my personal development, and from obviously my basketball journey. And then from there, I was lucky enough to be recruited to go to the University of Colorado, at the time for the head coach, Jeff Bezdelic, who recruited me there. I was fortunate enough to play. I started all 4 years and played a lot as a freshman. You know, we didn't have a lot of success. We were really, really young and in the Big 12 at the time, which was a monster of a league. And then Coach Tab Boyle came in my junior year, so after 2 years, and we kind of turned the corner as a program and as a team, you know, with younger guys building up, bringing in some pieces. But guys the likes of Alec Burks, Spencer Dinwiddie, Andre Roberson, really, really good players that obviously have gone on to have great careers. And then my senior year, we moved from the Big 12 to the Pac-12. And we won the Pac-12 championship that year, and then I went on to play an overseas career back home in Australia.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're kind of selling yourself short, Coach, because like it seems to me that, you know, Tad came on staff and kind of you and that group kind of laid the foundation for Colorado. It's been, you know, a pretty consistent program throughout this past decade plus.
Yeah, it was a driving kind of reason why I chose Colorado. You know, we're kind of at the bottom of the Big 12 at the time, and I really wanted to put my stamp on a program. And we were able to turn it around. Took a little bit longer than what I thought. But you know, to leave there, you know, as a Pac-12 champion was really good. And obviously to play with some of the superstars that I played with, and against, you know. Including our head coach, you know, Kim played against him in high school. Actually, in our senior year in high school, we played against each other.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we played against each other for 3 years before we went to the Pac-12. And he'll lie about what the series score was, you know, but I'll let him have it. So.
Mike, we were catching up before we started recording. Who do you think Nate played against in his professional career?
Was it gone?
Was.
Yeah, Bryce scored, you know, some of his points on me for sure. He's had a great career in Australia. You know, we were hoping there for a while that he was going to turn to naturalize to be an Australian citizen and play for the Boomers. I'm not sure what happened. I think COVID had something to do with that. But no, he's an unbelievable player and a great ambassador for that league.
And one of my favorite stories of yours is there was an article when Rich Barron originally signed with George Mason, and I think you guys were at the Peach Jam and you saw him playing and you called English and said, "Hey, we need to get this guy. He's a perfect fit." Can you just give us it's kind of like inside baseball. Give us your scoop on how you found Rich Barron, because he's a old favorite with the Providence fan base.
So we're at Peach Jam. Obviously they're mostly focused on 17s, but in between games you try to get your eyes on as many kids as you can. And I definitely was not there watching Mean Streets. It was someone else. It may have been a DC team or something like that, being a George Mason. But this kid, tough kid, really, really, strong, big, maybe a little chubby at the time. He just kept making, winning play after winning play, and making threes, corner threes, and that was really the last thing I saw. He kind of grabbed a rebound, boxed someone, I grabbed a rebound, one dribble spin move, full court pass with his left hand, and I was like, oh, okay, that's, as a 16, 16-year-old kid, that's pretty good. Kept making winning plays, and then I saw his shooting. He made two threes, and I was like, okay, we got to track this guy, find out more about him, who he is. And coach had a connection with the program, and we jumped on him pretty quickly. And thank God for us. He didn't blow up too big, and we were able to fight off some programs late in the recruiting process and get him to come to George Mason. And then obviously just all the background work we did on him and his family, they just checked every box, and it was a no-brainer bringing him here to Frytown.
We
So like would you say like the winning plays that you saw, like you guys were confident in bringing him to Providence and playing in the Big East as opposed to the A-10?
There's always question marks, for every kid. But the thing that Rich just checked off, he was tough, number one, great teammate, leadership, high IQ, and can shoot the ball. Really, really checked off all five of our boxes, and he made us wait. He made us really, really recruit him until, I think we joke he's taken like five official visits, between George Mason and Providence. But we just knew so much about him, and we're really confident in all those other areas, and we knew he'd be a great player.
We've met his parents a handful of times this past year throughout the season. Just great people. Awesome people to be around.
Yeah, and that's important. The apple didn't fall too far from the tree, in a lot of areas, and they were really, disciplined with him. He was very disciplined as a kid, both in the classroom, went to a great high school, got a really good education, and all those things were important. You know what I mean? So, like I said, checked all the boxes, and we were really confident he would have a great career here. Obviously was thrown into the fire this year, and proved himself. So, wasn't really a surprise to anyone, on staff.
Interesting. Well, another guy we're excited about, and we haven't seen too much due to injuries, Justin Fernandez. So I know he played his freshman year with you guys. Can you give us just the fans who, aren't following every nanosecond like Mike and I are, like what should we be expecting with Justin Fernandez this upcoming year?
Yeah, Justin, man, it was again one of those unfortunate events I talked about in our first year that we had to deal with. But kind of like a human highlight reel, just waiting to happen. Just has explosive dunks that I'm sure you guys have seen. This year off, while it hurt him and hurt us, was probably the best thing for him, just to build up his body, get acclimated to the Big East and the physicality. Because it is a step up from the Atlantic 10, no doubt about that. But Justin is an elite shooter, with elite pace, quick twitch, really, really athletic, really, really fun to watch in the open court. And will just give us another dimension of athleticism and speed and shooting on the court that we really, really need, and we value. So Justin's he's one of the hardest workers on the team. He's in the gym 8 a.m. every morning getting shots up. He's going to have a really, really good season next year. And I think Friars fans will really enjoy it.
Awesome. So another guy that Friar fans are starting to know, but don't know too much about, would be Anton Bonk, who came in mid-year last year. Obviously, he's a guy that has a ton of size. Someone that came from Australia, New Zealand, kind of bounced around there before being in. Pardon me if I mispronounce it, but Vanuatu.
Vanuatu, Vanuatu.
Vanuatu. All right, there we go.
Close. That was close.
What did you guys kind of see in him, and were you able to kind of make like a connection in terms of you coming from Australia and going to the States and kind of, living that life?
So Friars fans shouldn't be disappointed that they don't know much, because nobody does. Nobody in the world knows. And obviously I have a strong connection back home to Australia, and I called some of my people back there that kind of handle, not even Australia, like the Oceania, Southeast Asian part of FIBA, and nobody knew who he was. Anton's he's a massive human, as you guys have seen. But he's just so new to the game. He's only been playing for 18 months. So he's like a ball of clay, just a very, very big ball of clay. Great kid, hard worker. He's in the gym with Coach Felton, just working every single day. He just really, really wants to get better. But we're excited to see. He's taken huge strides since he got here. I think mid-December or whatever it was, January. And he just needs it. He's a guy that just needs to play. He looks really good in workouts. He can shoot the three. He can run. He can jump. He's really a physical specimen in that aspect, but just needs to get more game time. Obviously, the summer's going to be huge for him. We're actually going to send him on an overseas trip, with a team to play a couple games overseas, just so he can get, some experience under the whistle and those sorts of things. But he's really, really exciting. He's every bit of 7'2" and can run like the wind and jump, and he just needs game time. But very, very excited for Anton.
With you adding Anton and St. Joe's transfer, Asondico, was it important to add size to the front court? Because it seems like that was a deliberate focus of you guys.
Yeah, well, obviously losing Adura, who did so much for us, and then Rafael Castro, entering the transfer portal. We needed to bulk up there. And if you just look around our league, the best teams kind of have a giant of some sort, whether it's Klingon or Kalkbrenner. So when we found Anton, and you got to be in our system, you got to be able to move. You got to be able, we don't really want a dinosaur, so to speak, that we need to wait, for him to come up the court, or you know what I mean. We still so Anton's the perfect fit for us, and his ability to shoot the ball is like it's great. So we're very, very excited that he can go head to head with Kalkbrenner and those guys, and then Kriest, who was originally committed to PC, that we'd known about from our time at George Mason, actually scrimmaged against him in October this year. So we saw firsthand how skilled he is. Also huge, 7 foot, very, very large human, but has the IQ skill set of an Oduro. And we just love those types of bigs.
Awesome. Obviously you have the full season and it's a grind, and Kim English, after the UConn game, last regular season game of the year, indicated, ne next year we're not going to be caught in a position where we can't handle injuries and adversity to the roster. And the goal was to get 13 dudes, as he said.
for you and staff, like, how kind of crazy was that for the season to end and then to turn around and be like, all right, we got to hit the portal and address our roster and, you know, have a deep team that you guys were able to win?
Yeah, well, we knew we had a good idea of who was returning, obviously. Conversations need to be had about guys that were wanting to leave. But we, you know, that happened like day after the season. You know, we didn't want to waste any time on our front. We didn't want them to, you know, waste any time on there. We wanted them to get in so they could find, you know, suitable landing spots. So we had an idea pretty quickly about what we needed. And obviously you're having those conversations, you know, as the year goes on, as the year comes to an end anyway, but we were able to identify what we needed. It was very, very clear, you know, and then we were able to execute. You know, luckily, doesn't always happen as easy as what it did this year. Obviously, it still wasn't easy. We needed to move fast and beat some pretty good programs out for players. But I think with what we lost, losing Oduro, losing Ticket, losing Devin, it was very enticing for people to come and play in this you know, in this system, play with the likes of Bryce and Jaden and a good young core as well. So it was not flawless. It wasn't easy, but it was about as easy. It went about as good as what it could have.
Yeah. So Nate, we appreciate the time. Maybe wrap up with one question here. The Providence fan base is known for being many things. Fanatical will be that in your first year, I guess. What's the craziest thing a fan has said to you, tweeted to you, done to you that you're like, okay, I get this fan base. It's just on a different level now.
The craziest thing. You know, I hear a lot of things. I try to stay in my lane as much as possible.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. There's a lot.
Well, it's probably a good thing that something doesn't immediately jump out. That's probably a good sign.
You guys are crazy. I will say that. I mean, the moment, I guess, that sticks out to me the most was, and we kind of talked about it, was the Bahamas.
Yeah.
You know, just that fan support was amazing. Was so cool to see. You know, just completely blew out the other three teams that were there as far as fan support.
I tried explaining to like friends and family. I'm like, you know, we're at a holiday tournament in the Bahamas, like a really nice place. It's beautiful out. It felt like an NCAA tournament game in there. Like it did not feel like a holiday tournament game.
Yeah. No, it was amazing. The event we had the night before the game was so cool. And you can kind of see other teams look around like, these guys, what the hell's going on? These guys, these fans are psycho. But I mean, to be a part of it, to feel it, like I'm telling you, it really matters. The guys feel it. And it's special. So I wouldn't have, there's nothing that really stuck out to me. I know, you know, our fans are insane on social media and all that, but the love and the support is real and we feel it. And our guys feel it. Our recruits feel it. And please don't stop.
That's a great way to wrap it up. Nate, Coach Tomlinson, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Nate.
Thank you, guys.
Everybody give Coach Tomlinson a follow on Twitter and keep showing the support because clearly it matters.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Nate. Man up in my city, I'm the truth, yeah. David Duke when I'm way up on the hoop, eh? Crossover, I might throw the LEU. Heard they sleeping on me, well, let's take them back to school. PC, you know we on go, ayy. Feel like AJ Reeves when I'm off that pick and roll, ayy. Fall down, bounce back like Emmy Ho, ayy. I'm the alpha dog, Diallo. They was sleeping on me, that's what made me a savage. Any team we bump into, we gon' let them have it, yeah. They don't want no static, we at the top just like the attic. This year we taking over March Madness. Man up in my city, I'm the truth, yeah. David Duke.